says in Hebrews chapter 11, 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper, beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith it passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assuaging to do were drowned. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Moses decides by faith, I trust that you do as well. Let us pray. Lord, help us me this evening. I pray that my voice would stay reasonable to hear. I pray that you just help me to think clearly. Lord, forgive me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, please, I pray. I pray that you just bless the message time those teaching downstairs. May this week our lives be those kind of lives that sound forth the truth of a changed life because of what Christ has done. Ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. We all make a lot of life choices, do we not? Matter of fact, it was the year was 1920, and the management of the Boston Red Sox made a bad choice. They sold Babe Ruth's contract to the New York Yankees. After joining the Yankees in 10 of the next 12 seasons, Babe Ruth hit more home runs than the entire Red Sox team combined. Matter of fact, when Babe was on the team, the Yankees team, the Boston Red Sox did not win a World Series from 1918 until the year 2004. Wow. In 1938, Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel sold all the rights for a comic book character they had invented for only $130. Superman was that character they invented for $130. And in 1955... Sam Phillips sold the RCA Victor Records to an exclusive contract he had with the very popular Elvis, forfeiting royalties on more than one B with a billion records. Sold his exclusive contract in 55 to RCA Victor Records. I'd say that's probably pretty much the most popular person they've ever had on as far as making money. Some bad choices. In truth, I tell you, life is made of decisions. Some are simple, some are unimportant, whether we're going to have fried chicken or grilled chicken or how we're going to do the chicken tonight. We're going to do chicken one way or another. We'll figure out what kind of you want. What do you want, baked, fried, grilled, sauteed, whatever. Many make decisions unconsciously. We just simply do it. If you're driving the car and it starts raining hard, you put on the wipers. I mean, that's the way it is. If you're going to sit in your car, you put your seatbelt on. That's just part of what you do. Some we do unconsciously, some we decide to do. Some we take a long time in deciding. I'm not to be... inappropriate, but I spent a long time studying composting toilets. I really did. I watched many videos of composting toilets, and at first it sounds kind of ridiculous, but I tell you, they are a very inexpensive, once you get them in your own way, to have another restroom. So there we go. I did a lot of thought into that. Some decisions we just do off the top of our head. What do you want? Every day at our work, they come around, well, we're going to Burger King today, we're going to Chinese, we're going here, we're going there. What do you want? Do you want something? I said, no, I brought my lunch here. So every day you can decide, am I going to spend some money? I try to save up for Thursday or Friday so I can go have a lunch out. And so I do that sometimes. We make decisions. You say, but I decided I don't put it off. Well, making a decision to put it off, you're making a decision by doing that. The course and quality of our lives are determined much more by our decision than by our circumstances. What have you decided to do with your life this week? Christian living involves making right decisions. You can note the maturity, I believe, of a Christian by the decisions he or she makes. Holiness is making the right decisions. Carnality is making the wrong decisions. Our Christian living rises or falls, I believe, in maturity and holiness based on the decisions we make. Am I going to watch that or not? Am I going to read that or not? Am I going to say that or not? Am I going to do that or not? Am I going to go to church or not? Am I going to get up early enough to read my Bible today? I would encourage you to do that. But that's a decision you make every single day. Satan tempts us now. We decide to say yes or no. He wants us to say no to the things of God. When we have opportunity to witness, we either say yes. Just this past, I like my job now, just praise the Lord. The guys love talking about the Bible. of all things. And he wants me to send him a Bible verse every day on email. It helps me to keep my thinking right. And they talk about, well, he goes, not one gentleman asked me, he's the younger guy, what happens to Christians when they go, do they go to the pearly gates once they die? He said, well, the first thing you must know for sure that you have asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Well, I've done that. Okay, well, then we start from there. And so I thank the Lord that they're very receptive to and opportunity to witness. And so, but we have a decision whether to say yay or nay. It's not a matter of having time. I think it's a matter of taking time. I tell you, you're busy people. We're all busy people. But if you are too busy for God, you're way too busy. You're way too busy. I'm way too busy. You're too busy for God. Shakespeare said, there is a tide in the affairs of man which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted or ignored, all the voyage of our life is bound in shallows and in miseries. It was Napoleon who believed that in every battle there was either a 10 or 15 minute window that decided who won or not. Whoever had, who made a certain move, a certain strategic move, they won or lost. Victory or defeat, victory in Jesus. Now, when you receive Christ, that was the ultimate victory because I know who wins. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the power of our God. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will. We know who wins. I read the last of the book there. He's still on the throne. He was on the throne when it started. He's on the throne when it ends. And he's still going to be on there forever and ever. It's, the Greek people had an interesting thing. They had, it was called the Statue of Opportunity. On the front, it had a lot of, I don't know if it was a lady or a man, probably a man, a lot of wavy hair. And on the back was completely bald. Now, the purpose of that was that it, as it came by, you could grab on the opportunity, but if you're waiting till opportunity pass, there's nothing to grab onto. And that was the idea. Opportunity to serve is now. The Lord, you serve, do whatever God's called you to do now. We may not have this privilege a year from now. We may not have this privilege a month from now. We don't know. But we're going to stand for God's word. If it means closing the church, it means closing the church. We're going to go to the house churches. That's what we'll do. I can see it easily in America. We may someday be in the house churches across the country. I hope not. I pray not. But the right choices are made based on the right faith. Often we cannot see the consequences of our choices, but I tell you, we make them and we allow God to work. Satan wants us to the world to seem so attractive. I want to choose the world. When we know God's will in a matter, we choose it by faith. We know that choosing God's will by faith is the right choices, whatever happens circumstantially wise after that. It is by faith we choose purity, we choose Bible reading, we choose prayer, we choose giving. By faith. Now, no person in Scripture other than Jesus illustrates the power of right decisions than Moses. It was Dr. Malcolm Kyle called Moses, now quoting, the greatest man among mere men in the whole history of the world. That's a pretty tall statement. The greatest man among mere men in the whole history of the world. That was Moses, he said. His decisions were right. Why? Because they put faith and trust in God. He's always associated with God's law. In fact, it is called the law of Moses, the Mosaic law. But I tell you, Moses is a man who lived by faith. Number one, if you're keeping an outline, here we go. Number one, Moses' parents rebelled against the king's proclamation. Moses' parents, which are Amram and Jochebed. It was Robert Sumner said, you could probably go into most churches today and not one in 50 could even name Moses' parents. And yet, they are here in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Moses' parents, they had some moxie, I tell you. The stem, the population explosion among the Hebrew slaves in Egypt, Pharaoh, perhaps Tutmosis I, said, okay, all boy Hebrew slave, born to slaves are going to be on the river. Now, can I just say for just a moment, I know it's a little bit sidetracked here, but when you try to control the population of your own country, you are going to lose. Consider China, 34 million more men than women. India combined, 70 million more men than they can't find wives for the men. Why? Because we only want boy babies, but you can only have one child. Japan, they sell more senior diapers in Japan than they do child diapers. I'm telling you, God's way is still the best. Be fruitful and multiply. If God gives you children, yes, if he doesn't, okay. God's still in control, but it's up to him. And mankind is not supposed to mess with things that are God's prerogative. whether it be euthanasia, which, by the way, just this past week, Canada approved the euthanizing of people who are disabled. Not those that are close to dying, but simply those who are, if they want, disabled. So we have out of the womb, just in the womb, just out of the womb. We have those who are no good to society and want to lose their life, and now we're down to disabled. Let me tell you, this God's, I tell you, from the moment a person is conceived at God's directive to the very last breath on earth, it's God's choosing when they pass into eternity. I wish man would wake up to that, but it is. So, to protect their newborn son, Amram and Jochebed, they hid Moses first 3 months, and then they built this waterproof ark. There's one of three arks in the scripture. And the waterproof ark, they laid him in there, and then they didn't know what was going to happen. And lo and behold, Pharaoh's daughter came down, put it right in the right place, and said, I need a nurse, someone to nurse the child. So, by faith, Jochebed gets her child saved, gets to nurse the child and wean the child, and then turn it over to Pharaoh, and he lives for 40 years and learns all these things and prepares to be able to speak Egyptian, to work with the Egyptians and have, I'll tell you this, at Moses' time when that 10th plague is getting ready to start, he was the greatest man on earth. I'm telling you. Egypt was the greatest country on earth at that time. Moses, with God obviously superintending, but Moses, every Egyptian was afraid of Moses. I mean, had 9 plagues. Get that man out of here. Whatever he says happens. And now the plague of death has come. And Moses was the most feared, revered man on earth. I tell you, in Exodus, about verse chapter 12 and 13, etc. Matter of fact, it says in Acts 7:20 regarding his beautiful childhood, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair. Told you many times that my mom and dad was hoping for Lisa Marie. Out came Timothy Wright. I had the weirdest thing happen today. This week, a guy from Marathon says, hello, this is Tim Wright. I said, oh, this is Tim Wright. He said, well, I'm calling to order some grading. I said, is your name Timothy? Yes, my name's Timothy Wright. I said, what's your middle initial? S. Oh, mine's middle initial's S. And what's your middle initial there? Scott. Oh, my name is Scott. I was born in Ohio. And he's born in 83. But I said, Timothy Scott Wright works at Marathon, born in Ohio. And here, Timothy Scott Wright is pastoring here at Little Sandy, or working at Martin Stephen. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Aren't you glad that God knows who you are? So when the Timothy Scott Wright is called, there's going to be probably, I'm guessing hundreds, hundreds of Timothy Scott Wrights in history. But he knows me. And he knows if I've received his son or not. I have. I don't want to be confused with Timothy Scott Wright, several hundred who never received Christ and rejected him. I want to be that one, the Wayne Stevenson who knows Christ. That's the one he wants to be, right? That's the one you want to be. I'm glad that God has it all in control. I believe that Moses' parents were somehow aware of God's special concern, and by faith they hid Moses in the bulrushes, and God preserved his life, ready for him to be trained 40 years and then trained 40 more years. Can you imagine not starting a ministry till you're 80 years old? Now, that's not old, by the way. That's not very old. That's not very old, Mr. Woman. Pastor Wayne. I think that's both of you. That's not that old anymore. Mr. Adams. Oh, Grayson. Not that old. I think he's 80. Moses' parents were willing to risk their own lives so that their son, I don't know what's going to happen, but I tell you, whatever happens in our country, you and I have got to stand for God's word. It may mean you get locked up. I thought he was going to get released. The man up in Canada was locked in prison, in jail for, almost a month now, for the goats. We have to stand for what is true. From a human's perspective, his parents had no way of knowing even that his life would be spared, much less that he would be taken in by the Pharaoh's daughter. And they looked and they exercised faith and acted, because true faith always acts. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Faith is not some kind of static thing. It's a faith that continues on, Pastor Tim. You continue on as you should, and you walk by faith. Whatever God has for us, we're still trusting. trying to improve God's plan is more pretentious than taking a felt-tip pen and trying to improve the Mona Lisa. Now, if I was doing that, put a smile on her face. Do you even know what the Mona Lisa is? People even know what it is. By the way, they sold some kind of digital painting 2 weeks ago, digital cartography, for $69 million. I was like, $69 million for that? Wow. Anyway, we are just simply, it would ruin God's masterpiece. God needs not our, he needs our obedience, not our help, not our advice, and not our counsel. He makes the plans, and then we walk in them by faith. By faith we walk in them. So, number one, Moses' parents rebelled against the king's proclamation. Two, Moses renounced, you guys from R&Ps, Moses renounced the daughter's pedigree. 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. For 40 years, he'd been the prince of Egypt, the wealthiest and most cultured and advanced society in all the earth, I believe, at that point in time. He was therefore educated. He was skilled. He was part of the royal court. Some believe that he was even possibly in line to become Pharaoh if things worked out. Hatshepsut possibly was the daughter that took him in. Educated, learned, a man of power, words and deeds, formal education, hieroglyphics, Hurrietic in some Canaanite languages. He was, even learned Hebrew from his mother. Before the days of having translators go with you, now he can speak Hebrew and read hieroglyphics, and also he can speak Egyptian, and whatever needs to be done, he can talk to Pharaoh in Egyptian, and then he can talk to the Hebrews in Hebrew, and whatever needs to be done, he wants to sign something here, I can do that too. God had taken him and prepared him for service. Aren't you glad college isn't 40 years? Wow. Can you imagine? I crammed 4 into 5, and that was long enough. Actually, I did go 5 full years, and it was for a 5-year program, so before you think, oh, he's a... Anyway, so I did. But 40 years, he's learning and growing. The deciding factor was his faith in God. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He did not want to be called Elon Musk's son. I was reading this past, you read to me, I'm reading this past. When he was building his company, Tesla, he would sleep like 2 hours a day. And have people call him like 3 in the morning. Anytime, any place, you need to call me, just call me. And he is recently the richest man in the world for a time. I know Tesla's going back down because other people are developing electric automobiles, but he passed Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon. But he gave his life to that. I tell you, take the world, but give us Jesus. This is a passing thing. He may be the richest man for the rest of his life. Okay. That's in the world's eyes, that's magnificent. I tell you, in God's eyes, that means diddly squat. It's what have you done for Jesus? Have you received his very own son as Savior? Baron Justinian von Welz in 1621 was born. In 1666, he set out as a missionary to Dutch Guiana. Today, his body lies in a grave, lonely grave in Dutch Guiana. Forgot, as a matter of fact, I've never even heard of him until studying this message and saw the illustration. But when he was preparing to go to service, he said this: "What is it to me to bear the title well-born when I am born again to Christ? What is it to me to have the title Lord when I desire to be the servant of Christ? What is it to be called your grace when I have need of God's grace? All these vanities I will away with, and all else I will lay at the feet of my dear Jesus." He went in 66. He died in 68 as a martyr. 1666, 1668. Not even 2 years on the field. Gave his life for the cause of Christ. Moses gladly joined with God's chosen people. He aligned himself. When he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Number three, Moses rejected the world's pleasures in 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. No one needs to be convinced, I tell you, that sin is fun. It can feed our pride, satisfy our physical desires and appetites, and offer many other pleasures. But there's two things people involved in that often forget. Number one, it's often involved in evil. And secondly, it's often passing. Always passing. Always. No matter how temporarily satisfying it may be, satisfying is doomed to fail. Destined to fail. As the deer pants for the water. So my soul, oh Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now that's satisfaction, for they shall be filled. Otherwise, you're not going to be filled. You can go out tomorrow and buy one of these brand new 2021 Chevy Suburbans. $85,000. No problem. And take it home, and tomorrow I'll drive in with my Lamborghini, and you'll say, wow, I wish I had that instead. No matter what it is, someone's got a fancier, nicer, more costlier one. I tell you, when we rest in God, we can be happy with whatever we have. If you get more stuff or change your wanter, I want what I've been given, and I'm content with that. You'll never be content with things. If things are what you're living for. David learned the hard way that sinful pleasure is both brief and disastrous. For the pleasure of having Bathsheba for himself, he had to commit adultery, had Uriah killed, and he said later on in 51:3 of Psalm, "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." I mean, the fallout of that, you have Absalom rebelling against him, you have Amnon defiling Tamar, Absalom killing Amnon, and Adonijah later on wanted to take the throne from Solomon, Absalom rebels, and Absalom gets his hair caught in a tree and gets killed by Joab. The fallout of all of that, because you were not where you're supposed to be, and you let your mind wander and your eyes wander toward Bathsheba. It wasn't like he was a single person, he had other wives. Just did not control. Disobeying had many attractions. One of the things that would have been a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable in the short term for Moses to stay in Egypt. But it would have been a sin for Moses to stay there had he decided to stay, because God had a plan for him, and God's call for him was to go out and to lead his children out, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. We forget it is a season. It is a season. So want to promote things in our society. And then just a short time later, you'll see that person really was who he said he was. And your promotion of these things is really wrong suited, because the people just really don't want to change. And that's who they are. And you may dress it up. You may dress them up and they may act like something they're not, but down deep, they're who they really are before they ever put the dress on. It was the library store hour. One of the leaders of the library store hour was just arrested recently because of child porn all over his computer, et cetera, et cetera. And we're promoting these things. And I saw a picture of this little girl looking at him sitting down, telling him, reading him a story, and the little child's face was, I could tell, it was uncomfortable. Why are we promoting things that change our children? Our children need to know what God has said about life. And you, parents, grandparents, you know the truth. We have got to present the truth as found in God's word. Lovingly, carefully. Fourthly, Moses respected the Lord's purpose in 26 and 7, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had his eye on Christ and not on the world. For the Christian Hebrews who were reading this book, remember, it was the visible world of Judaism was so enticing, they were tempted to go back into that. No, don't. You've trusted Christ. It's a better way, a better sanctuary, a better person, a better sacrifice, etc. It's Christ. Don't go back into Judaism. Keep on keeping on by faith. Hebrew Christians, keep on keeping on. So he gives them these examples, all these examples in Hebrews 11. Esteeming there involves careful thought, not quick decision. Moses thought through his decision, weighing the pros and the cons. He weighed what Egypt had to offer against what God had to offer. And perhaps, now I tell you, he would have had a lot bigger mansion in Egypt than he had with Jethro on the backside of the desert. Probably just had a tent there. But be tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me. Mansion for me over there, the songwriter said. When he reached a conclusion, it was a well-founded, certain conclusion. When I reached a conclusion about what kind of composting toilet to buy, I researched it, and I was set on one type first, and then after doing more, I think I'm going to get that one, and I finally ended up getting that one. And I after researching, I esteemed which one to choose after careful consideration, and he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than even all the money of Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and all put together. It's greater riches in Christ. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain, Paul said. We think, Christians are thinking, for me to live is the world and to die is going to be really poor. We get our eyes so on here instead of up there. Esteeming the riches of, now why is that unusual? Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Christ, the anointed one. Christ is the Greek form of a Messiah. Conclusion, in that Moses suffered reproach for the sake of Christ, the true Messiah, because he identified with the Messiah's people. It says in Hebrews 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. You stand for God, you're going to be reproached eventually if you've not been already. Stand for God in a right kind of way, and people are not going to elect it. Moses stood for Christ, and esteemed the riches of Christ. God's reward, by the way, is always greater than the world's. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He supplies according to his riches, not out of them. If a billionaire came into the church tonight and gave everybody a dollar bill, he would be giving out of his riches. But if he gave every one of us $1 million, he'd be giving according to his riches, because he doesn't even have a hard effective bank account. He's a multi-billionaire. Get 20 million dollars, that's just like a drop in the bucket for a multi-billionaire. He would be concerned about it. But he could drop part of it in mine, Robert. He's giving according to his riches. When God gives you something, it doesn't change the amount of riches he has. He gives you according to what he has. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. My wife will look at 2 trucks for taking up cattle down at the marathon today when we're getting gas. And we're saying, I hope they're going to some pasture where they're going to be able to run and play and eat grass and but I don't think so. I really don't think they were. But there's hope, perhaps. There's hope. He gives us according to his riches. Moses surely saw the reward of a blessed life. But the emphasis is best seen as being on the eternal reward. It was Shakespeare's in The Merchant of Venice. There's Portia, the beautiful daughter of a wealthy a man. And there is 3 chests, like Pope chests, that all the suitors coming before her must choose. And the first one's made of gold. And the inscription on the gold chest says, whoso chooses me shall gain what many men desire. And so I'll go with that one. And when they opened it, it was a skull. The second one was silver, made of silver. The inscription said this inscription, who chooseth me shall get as much as he deserved. And a lot of the suitors opened that, and what'd they get? The picture of a fool. The last chest was dark gray. Matter of fact, it's made of iron, made of lead. It says on it, who chooseth me must give and hazard all he hath. And only one guy, Bassanio, I think I'm not going to pronounce his name, Bassanio chose that 3rd chest and won Portia's hand. He must give all and hazard. He must give and hazard all he hath. And he won the day. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who's invisible. 27. The first time he left Egypt, Moses is fleeing from the Pharaoh. The second time we understand that he left Egypt for another Pharaoh. The greatest pressure on Moses perhaps was fear, but he looked to God, afraid of being thought different or losing our job or reputation or popularity. We are afraid of criticism, often from people who we don't even know about, etc. Moses was likely tempted to be fearful, but he was not. He trusted God, even through all of that. He was the kind of man he was because he chose to focus on sights on God rather than the monarch of Egypt. Faith rejects the world's pressure and follow God's purpose, whatever it may be. And finally, I know we're a little bit past time. Moses persevered receiving God's provision. 28 and 29, Moses persevered. We see the sprinkling of blood in 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. This is the greatest man on earth, so surely he doesn't have to put blood out. Yes, he does. He obeyed the Passover, and unless his firstborn was going to die, he was obedient to that. The command of God, sprinkling of blood. And then there was the seabed of blessing. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which Egyptians are swaying to do were drowned. Faith accepts God's promise. Can you imagine you're walking through the Red Sea and pile high over here is water, pile high over there is water, and you're looking at all the sea creatures swimming around in there, and you're walking through like, whoa. I'm on dry ground, all the way through, dry ground, all the way through, and I hope that water doesn't come in on me. They had to have some faith. I mean, they had to have a lot of faith. We're going to go through here. Take us back to Egypt. Oh no, you're between the Pharaoh and the deep Red Sea. So you can't go back. Pharaoh's gone behind. Red Sea's in front. What's going to do? Stand still and see the salvation of God. And the sea is parted. Moses believed. The Egyptians were drowned. You find then the songwriter Francis Havergill said, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite with I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose." That was Moses' thought. J.C. Ryle wrote a message on this very, I'll close with this called Faith Choice on this very text. He lamented that there were so many worldly and ungodly persons in the church. He says they go through their rituals and they say that they believe, but in practice they daily would prefer the world to God. He asked why they live as they do. He answers, "They do not believe. They have no faith." He explains it. Listen to this quote now. "In short, they do not put implicit confidence in the words that God has written and spoken, and do not act upon them. They do not thoroughly believe in hell. They do not flee from it, nor heaven, and so do not seek it, nor the guilt of sin, and so do not turn from it, nor the holiness of God, and so do not fear Him, nor their need of Christ, and so they do not trust in Him, nor love Him. They do not feel confidence in God, and so venture nothing for Him." End of quote. That is it. We've lost the holiness of God. We've lost the severity of hell. How was the last time a preacher had the nerve to get up and do a series on the suffering and pangs of hell? Is it real? Yes, it is. I've done just one series on hell since I've been here. It's just as real. We're afraid of being, I'm telling you about hellfire and brimstone is real. Now, I'm not what they would call a hellfire and brimstone preacher of that either. Preacher. But I'm still warning you, don't go. Don't go. So what about you? Have you made faith choice? This week we're going to have a lot of opportunities to make faith choice. Are we going to trust in God? Is He going to provide? Yes. Will He answer prayer? Yes. Will it always be the answer you think you're going to get? No. But He will answer it. Yes, no. Wait a while longer. Wait a while longer. Wait a while longer. Perhaps then you're going to be part, Kathy was a part of an answer to prayer for Stephanie out this week, when she walked over to the pulmonologist's office, for what I understand, some have been waiting a year to get in to see some doctors. She walked over, and the lady called her on Monday after Kathy talked to her Monday morning and set up an appointment. We've been waiting for how long? And so thank you, Kathy. Perhaps the Lord's going to use you this week to help me answer the prayer, and it would be available. Let's pray. Help us, Lord, to choose this week. Choose, make choices based upon right faith, based upon Your word. Help us to go out this week and be a witness to others. Help me, Lord, to do that at my job, others at their jobs, to their families across the street, for those who are going around the world. May You give them courage. Lord, bless our land. May it return. May we have repentance, starting with the preacher, starting with the pulpits. Repentance and return to biblical faith. And I ask these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Higher Ground, a good song to close with. 447, please. 447. 447, grab a hymn book there, please.